Welcome to another episode of Critical Wave Theory, and this time I'm going to be impersonating an NPR episode, or some other public television, or a public radio type of series where they speak in a soft, gentle voice, and they take you on a journey into a truly impressive and mind-altering story. And I'm going to call this The Curious Mind, Einstein's Spiritual Odyssey. I'm your host. My name is Wade. How's it going? Welcome to another episode of Critical Wade Theory. For this episode, aka The Curious Mind, we explore the fascinating intersection of intellect, so-called spirituality, and humanity. Again, I'm your host, Wade, and today we delve into the enigmatic world of Albert Einstein's spiritual journey. Now picture this, a simple question, seemingly innocuous, yet pregnant with layers of meaning. Is this your bag? It's the kind of inquiry that prompts us to ponder identity, belonging, and perhaps even faith. Now, close your eyes and picture the background sound of quiet ambience. Maybe there's a refrigerator humming. Can you hear it? Do you feel a sense of oneness with the universe? So, why start with a question about a bag? Well, let's unpack it. Wink. A bag has physical dimensions. It is real, yet also conceptual. It could belong to someone, or to anyone, or to no one, depending on the bag's observer and their beliefs, or the lack thereof, or the lack of an observer. A bag could just merely be. Then you have to ask the question, is there really a bag if no one is there to observe it or to use it, or to define it as a bag? And if you deconstruct reality and meaning like this to sound deep, you annoy the shit out of some people. But that's just one of the perks of true philosophy. It ends up seeming kind of stupid after a while also being intelligent. Well, how about that? Quite a profoundness to the universe of thought and a vacuousness, like the vacuum of space. So now, imagine Einstein, a figure revered for the scientific genius and feisty hair that he so commonly displayed. Imagine if he was confronted with this inquiry about a bag. For Einstein, he would have seen it as a relative question, hence the theory of relativity. For him, human cultural reality and identity wasn't just about ethnicity or nationality or any one belief. It was a tapestry woven with threads of religious heritage and deep philosophical and scientific thought. Yes, in his lifetime, Einstein navigated the delicate balance between tradition and individuality. While he may have been less orthodox in his religious observance, his Jewish heritage was a part of his worldview, influencing his values and perspectives, and he never did any sort of deep denial of his background, even though he never fully exemplified it. Einstein's journey didn't adhere to a linear path. His relationship with things like Judaism was nuanced, shaped by his intellectual curiosity and profound reflections on spirituality and truth. And now, I want you to close your eyes once again. Well, unless you've had them closed this entire time. But anyway, keep those peepers closed and imagine some soft piano music. Isn't that soothing? Calming? Doesn't it make you forget all of your troubles, or at least most of them? It's a work in progress. We can't solve everything, But yeah, just imagine those soft piano keys tinkling off in the distance, as they are known to do. And just imagine a waterfall flowing also along with that soft piano. Ah, it's like you've achieved inner calm. Anyway, going back to Einstein, take for instance his contemplation on the divine, encapsulated in this quote: "My religion consists of a humble admiration of the illimitable superior spirit." Here Einstein reveals a reverence for a higher power, one that transcends dogma and doctrine, yet that is not clearly defined. Amen, amen. It's like the universe itself is God, or whatever you would want to call it. A superior spirit. Ooh, some deep stuff. But Einstein's spiritual exploration wasn't confined to his own faith tradition that he experienced when he was younger. He was a voracious seeker of wisdom, drawn to diverse spiritual texts like the Bhagavad Gita, which I must admit I have never read. Sorry if I sounded too excited there for a second. I'm gonna ease it back. Ease it back just a little bit. Calm down. I'm calming down myself. Now close those eyes. Imagine the sound of turning pages. Like maybe God turning pages through the Book of Time, looking at various events and not really taking them in, but just looking. As God is an observer, God doesn't want to do anything. He just sometimes does. He just sometimes does. It's part of the mystery. The enigma that is creation, or whatever crap you want to call it. God likes to watch, ladies and gentlemen. He likes to watch. And don't we know it? That's part of why some people believe in him. They like to be watched. It adds to the kink factor, while also simultaneously sounding wholesome and deep. We want to sound deep. Yes. So, where was I? Oh, yes. In a letter penned to his colleagues, or no, to his colleague B.G. Siddharth, whose name I may have mispronounced, Einstein expressed his awe at the profundity of the Bhagavad Gita, musing on the creation of the universe and the essence of existence. He said, and I quote, "When I read the Bhagavad Gita and reflect about how God created this universe, everything else seems so superfluous." Now, isn't that nice? So superfluous. Yes, indeed, everything else does seem like, who cares? Shrug your shoulders. You know, just look at life and just shrug your shoulders. If you've read a holy text, what else does anything matter? So this admiration for the Gita exemplifies Einstein's openness to glean insights from various philosophical traditions, transcending cultural boundaries in his quest for truth. And now close those eyes once again, if you're not already closing them, and you can possibly hear that sound of rustling leaves, like a crisp fall day. Or then again, leaves also fall even when it's not that time of year. Maybe it just got knocked off a tree branch and it's just flowing in the breeze. You know, you can be one with that wind and with that leaf at the same time. You can transcend the physical while being part of the physical. It's all the power of imagination. We can just kill time, waste time thinking about dumb stuff that really doesn't matter. And it might make us feel better, and it might make us seem deeper. You know, we're lost in thought for a reason, because life sucks. It's better to sometimes just distract yourself with thoughts like leaves flying on the breeze. Isn't that nicer now? Don't you feel, you know, like a true spirit, a true representation of yourself? Ah, you have transcended. Anyway, so why didn't Einstein embrace devotional service despite his appreciation for the Gita? The answer, like the man himself, is multifaceted. Einstein's spirituality wasn't confined to rituals or doctrines. It was a tapestry woven with scientific inquiry, philosophical reflection, and reverence for the cosmos. So basically, it was science meets spirituality. Why can't we do more of that today? I have no idea. Because it's all nonsense anyway, so you might as well try to make peace between the two different realms. Because why not? Even if it's a clunky sort of peace, you know. Just pretend it makes sense. That's what I say. Pretend everything falls together neatly like a prepackaged puzzle. Anyway, in Einstein's universe, science and spirituality danced in a delicate harmony, each informing the other in a symphony of intellectual curiosity and awe. I like that, yeah. So as we unravel the layers of Einstein's spiritual odyssey, we're reminded that the quest for meaning transcends boundaries of time and space, inviting us to ponder the mysteries of existence and our place within it. So here is where the outro music would probably start if I was, you know, bothering to properly create a podcast episode. Instead, I'm just talking into my Chromebook mic. Sorry to demystify you, but, you know, that's the reality. But just imagine that outro music. Maybe it's the piano keys again. Maybe it's Motorhead or Cannibal Corpse or something, you know. Maybe you're into rap music. Maybe it's a Coolio song, like Gangster's Paradise. I don't know. But just imagine some music coming in, and it's really augmenting your experience, making you feel, yet again, that sense of wholeness, that oneness, the divine contemplation, that elation sensations can bring you. Wow, I was just riffing. And that actually kind of made sense. I'm just improvising here on that one. But I'm actually kind of proud because it didn't totally fall apart. Anyway, thank you for joining us on The Curious Mind. And by us, I mean me, myself, and I. Stay tuned for more thought-provoking explorations into the realms of intellect, spirituality, and humanity. Until next time, keep questioning, keep seeking, and keep curious. And here's where the theme music fades out, just like yesterday, faded out. Though you're too dumb to understand that, you're always going to be looking at the past and trying to recapture the magic and the glory. You're going to have regrets of things that you've said and done, and you're going to be a worse person for it, probably. And to the extent that you remember anything from the past, you're probably not going to learn the lessons that you should be learning. But you know what? I'm not here to guilt and shame you about that. I'm just stating this as a fact. I'm not trying to judge you. I've been there myself. We're all messing up all the time, even when we don't know it. And that is the height of spirituality for me to be able to say that.